Good morning, and please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, last Sunday, we heard the call story of Philip and Nathaniel, and our theme was, come and see me. Right? Come and see me. This is Jesus calling out to us. Come and see me. This is the season of Epiphany and the season which God in Jesus is made manifest or is seen. And this morning, our theme is come and
hear me,
is what Jesus is saying to us. And we hear the story this morning about four of the first disciples that were chosen: Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John. Now notice something, Mark's gospel is about immediacy. Mark's gospel is the shortest of all the gospels, and it's because Mark's got a story to tell, but Mark isn't into getting into all the details. Mark's about get it down on paper and get it out there, right? Because in the beginning, the gospel is shared by what they call gossiping the gospel. I wonder if that's where that word came from. So they would share it by word of mouth. But then it was, you know, we can't do this fast enough. We need to get it down on paper and we need to get it out there. So Mark is one of the first gospels that's written. And you can tell right from the beginning, right? There's no story about the birth of Jesus or any of that. Nope, it picks up when Jesus enters the scene and really takes off from there. It's like we are on a roller coaster ride. So there's immediacy about this. So Jesus comes walking along the shore. We don't know whether or not Jesus knew these men, but we would say most likely history's beginning to show that he probably did know them. They probably did grow up together. So Jesus calls to the first two. Notice the immediacy. Immediately they drop their nets. Immediately they leave their father and the boat, and they go and follow Jesus. They heard something. Yes, they saw Jesus, but they heard something. So we don't know the kind of tone that Jesus did because there's nothing descriptive in the calling. It doesn't say he spoke loudly and called them. It doesn't say he gently called. It says nothing. So we don't know. Was this an authoritative command? Was this a gentle invitation, or was it a prophetic call? We have no idea what it was. All we know is they stopped what they were doing. They heard and they followed. Each and every single one of us in this room today has a call story. The time when we heard Jesus call us and through the Holy Spirit, we responded. And I can say that with total definitiveness, is that the right word? Because you're here. You moved. You came. You came to hear more. I'm going to tell you that in this immediacy story that we heard, mine was not an immediate story. There was no immediacy about it, from my perspective anyway. My journey started 30 years ago. Can you believe that, Carl? I say that because our journeys were on separate paths. It wasn't immediate, and it certainly wasn't done when I was out fishing. Sometimes we forget God calls every single one of us. Just happened to start with fishermen. And it started back in 1987-88 time frame when the Holy Spirit was kind of nudging me to go back to worship. So I was raised in a different faith, and that's where I went back to because that's what I knew. I knew all the stories, and it's interesting. The Holy Spirit didn't say, pick up the Bible and start reading it. The Holy Spirit said, go back to worship. Go back and be with the community of faith, with others who worship me. Don't do this on your own. It's too hard for you to do on your own. Go back to the group. So I did. I did go back to that faith denomination in which I was raised, and I just wasn't hearing anything there. And then there was another nudging that said, okay, now that you've taken that step,
I want you to take this step. There's a place for you that I want you to go to. And it's down the street from there, and it's a different faith tradition. Still, you know, it's Christian, and I want you to go in there. And it was a small group of people. There were 60 that were worshiping in that space, as opposed to the other space where there were hundreds worshiping, where I just felt like a stranger in the hundreds. But I felt like I came home in the 60. Each week, I went back there. I have no idea why, other than I knew the Holy Spirit was calling me to continue to go back there. And then I invited Carl to come with me. He's like, whoa, this is small. Like, they're going to see me. Because in the other faith tradition, maybe they saw me, but they didn't really see me. Maybe they heard me, but they didn't really hear me. But here, you are seen, and you are heard, and you are valued for who you were. And that can be really frightening. But the Holy Spirit said to us, be vulnerable, go, I am with you. During all that time that I was in that congregation, we were there for many years, but before I started to hear the Holy Spirit call me to do something different, I didn't realize that I was hearing God through the Holy Spirit in the Word, in the hymns that I was singing, in the prayers that we were praying, and believe it or not, in the sermon, because half the time I had no idea what that pastor was saying. The words were way over my head and I was clueless. But you know something? The Holy Spirit was opening all of that up to me. And I was getting little glimpses here and there and was beginning to put it all together. And then I had an invitation. There was actually an invitation to come and meet with the pastor to talk about grace. That was 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Carl said, you're going? I said, yeah, I'm feeling that call. I'm going to go. There'll be other people there. Nope. I was the only one there. And I was petrified out of my mind. I'm like, he's gonna know I'm a fraud immediately, the minute I open my mouth. And so the very first thing I say to him is, listen, there's no one here, so if you want to reschedule it, feel free. It's absolutely fine. And he said, what do you mean there's nobody here? You're here. You are the most important person. So let's talk about grace. I was like, really? We had the best conversation about grace. I did more listening, and I heard some new things that I had never in my life, in my being raised, heard before, and that is the gift of grace, that it is free, it is one way from God to me, and as I grow in that understanding, I will go out and share God's love with everyone else. Of course, it was like, you know, over my head, clueless, wasn't feeling it, but I heard it. Probably 12 months after that, I received an invitation, as did everyone in the congregation, so it wasn't just me. Hey, if you're interested in working with the youth, come on, come, we're having a meeting. Carl said, don't do it. I know you, Mayor. I went and I was the only one there. And they said, oh, you're interested in working with the youth? I said, I don't know that I'm interested. I'm interested in hearing more about it. Next thing I know, I'm working with the youth. They taught me so much. God, of course, is laughing. I don't realize God is laughing. But I heard God's word through these youth. In particular, I was working with the middle school. And I heard God working through them and then to me. And then here's another one. I get a phone call. So, Pastor Marion, your name came up as being a leader on council. Now, Carl didn't quickly say, don't do it. He said, you need to pray on it. Well, next thing I know, I'm sitting around the table with the other leaders of the church, and I'm on council. And I hear now the dedication and the vision of these people who are truly living out God's word. Get an invitation to go to some bishop's gathering. Okay, sure, what the heck? Well, I come in late. Don't ever go late to a bishop's gathering because all the seats are in the back, are taken. So I sit up front, and who comes and sits right next to me? I'm a brand new Lutheran, the bishop. I said, in 2 seconds, he's going to realize I'm a total fraud. And they're like, who brought her here? I mean, I didn't even know some of the basic old Lutheran hymns because I was new. And you know what? I wasn't expected to know it, which was what was so awesome. And I had a great conversation with him. Carl and I moved to Florida. And I'm asked if I'm interested in teaching. I'm like, absolutely no way. I really don't know the Bible, particularly the way some Lutherans do. In my earlier faith tradition, we just, you know, the priest kind of just told us what was going on. We never cracked the Bible. And so I was like, no, I can't teach. And this is what the person said to me. The way you learn the stories is by teaching them. Because I will give you the entire curriculum. You don't have to do anything. You learn the story and you teach it to the children. And what I realized, and it was middle school, and what I realized right then and there was that they were teaching me and we were learning together. And it was okay to say, I don't know. Let's figure this out together. And they really appreciated that. But I heard God calling me in a new way. And then I was asked to be on council. Then I was asked to be council president. And then I go to a middle school retreat. And at that retreat, I see a friend of mine that I had known. And she said to me, I need to talk to you while you're here. And I said, Sue, I need to talk to you while I'm here. Because I had been hearing God calling me in a new way, but I was afraid to move in that direction. And at that middle school retreat, we found each other at the corner of a building. It was one of the dorms. And she said to me, you go first. And I said, no, Sue, you go first. And she's like, no, you go first. I'm like, you go first. I said, okay, finally. I'm going to put it out there. I don't know. I don't even know that I'm qualified to even do this or say that, but I'm just going to put it out there. I feel the Holy Spirit's calling me into full-time ministry with children and youth. And she said, oh my gosh, I was going to tell you, you need to go into full-time ministry with children and youth. What do you do with that? Go back and talk with my pastor. And I said to him, I really want to do this. Carl and I spoke about it. And Carl said, you know, Mayor, we can do this, but it's going to take 3 years. Because unlike the fishermen, we weren't bold enough just to drop everything and go. We had things that we had to plan for. We had a big house we had to sell. We had a boat we had to sell. We had things that we had to sell to prepare for my not going and staying in the corporate workplace. But yet through it all, God continued to call us in that direction. Then seminary comes along. The pastor said to me, oh, and by the way, the pastor was willing to wait the 3 years. If God isn't talking to that pastor. Seminary comes along, and the pastor said to me, look, there's this distributed learning program that's available for you to receive a Master of Arts in Children, Youth, and Family Ministry. Are you interested? I said, am I interested? I'm a lifelong learner. Absolutely. Do I follow the normal route to go into seminary? No, I don't. I apply, I get accepted. I don't get anything that says, well, there's a June on-campus, you know, full week that you need to come to. Okay, I make all the arrangements, I do all these things. I show up at a dinner and they're like, oh, wait, are you married? We don't know anything about you. How did you get here? God. I mean, it was all God. Because mostly people are vetted through the process, and they come on campus, and they do all these things. I just showed up. I was approved. I came in and just selected what class I wanted to take, and there I was on campus. 46 years old, back on campus, in the cold, mind you, in Minnesota, mind you, scared out of my mind, mind you, because if you've ever been to Minnesota, you know that you're in the middle of Lutherans all around you. And I'm like, they're going to find me out that once again, I am a fraud. I was so scared. There were acronyms that were being used. PK. What the heck is a PK? Half the people in the class were PKs. What? I looked at somebody and said, you're a PK. What does that mean? It means I'm a pastor's kid. Oh, okay. They're all like what I consider to be qualified people in that room. They were pastors' kids. They knew all this stuff. I was clueless. I thought I had made the biggest mistake of my life. I remember calling Carl, crying, say, I'm a misfit. I'm a New Yorker in the midst of Midwesterners in in Minnesota, and I know nothing about the tradition. I never even heard of lutefisk or any of those things. I mean, I felt like the Galilean, the Galileans, the fishermen who didn't come from Jerusalem, but had come from the northern tier. Yet I felt the Holy Spirit still calling me. And that night while I laid in bed, I heard, and I remember my pastor saying to me, don't you ever tell anybody that you heard this. They're going to think you're crazy. But I was questioning, and I heard my name spoken out loud to the point where I got up, I went to the door and thought someone had called me. I heard it. I heard God call my name. I'm in that program for 3 years. And I feel God calling me in a new direction. I feel God calling me, the Holy Spirit, to become a pastor. And they had just started a program for a Master of Divinity in which you could become a pastor through this distributed learning program. And people were talking to me, my professors and other people, you know, you have the heart of a pastor. You should really think about this. So the call was coming externally, but at the same time, the call was coming from within. And I can remember sitting in seminary at class that January of 2009 where I said, okay, God, if this is you calling me, that I hear you, and it's just not me thinking that I should be doing this, I need it to come through loud and clear. And in that epiphany service, it came through loud and clear to the point where I just started crying and everyone asked if I was okay. And I said, finally, I am, because I knew where God was calling me. From 2009 to 2013, God did something totally new in my life. And in those dark times that I walked because I failed my first Hebrew test, I felt the hand of God on my back saying, okay, it's Hebrew. Don't worry about it. There are times of darkness that I felt Christ so close to me. And then there were other times where I was humming along. Everything was fine because I felt like we were one. You know, Jesus was right there with me. My feet were on the same path and in sync. And I heard the Holy Spirit then say to me, you know, you, my dear, are called to be a developer, a mission developer, someone who goes out and brings God's people together and starts a new congregation. And you know something? For the first time in my life, at that point, I recognized how my previous life and my current life fit together. And I understand these fishermen. You see, Jesus took what they already knew how to do, fish for fish, catch fish, know the conditions. And instead, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you now how to fish for people. And so it was as if God was saying to me, you have a skill that I have moved you through. So you have this skill of developing, of understanding how to deal with things that are not perfectly ordered. And now I'm calling you to use that to develop people and to develop my church, God's people gathered together. God calls every single one of us into new places and new spaces. There are times today where I cry out, am I the right person? And if I just shut my mouth and I listen, God gives the answer. The key for me sometimes was just shutting up so that I could hear God calling me. Some of the ways in which I discovered God speaking to me was by asking questions. Perhaps we have to ask the question, where do you want me to go? And then we need to be quiet so that we can hear the answer. How do you want to use me? I was preaching at someone's funeral who, after he retired, he recognized that you don't ever retire from being a child of God. You take that skill that you had and you move it in a new direction. How is God calling you? Where is God calling you? What is God calling you to do? Is it a direct communication that you're receiving? Are you hearing it through someone else? Or is it in the absolute silence where the Holy Spirit comes screeching through, telling you what it is that the Holy Spirit wants you to do? And perhaps it's different at different times in your life. Jesus begins his ministry by pronouncing these words, the good news is near. It's really the good news is now here. Because we understand that the good news is not just a statement. It's not a press release. It's not just a story. It's not just a message. The good news is a person, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of God, the God who reconciles us in Jesus' death and resurrection, because we can't do it ourselves. The good news is a person. The good news is Jesus Christ, who called fishermen to come and hear and fish for people. And this same good news Jesus Christ says to you and to me on this day, come and hear me, and I will make you whatever it is God's calling you to do for God's kingdom. Amen.